it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Not often we get to do this for the Penn State Wrestling Show, but we've got a lot of information, and we are starting with some breaking news. I wouldn't say necessarily anything earth-shattering for the program, but there is a transfer we need to talk about. And the guy, of course, to discuss that and to give you the in-depth nuance and detail is reporter Greg Pickle, who covers Penn State Wrestling for us at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com. Make sure you follow him over there. Greg at Greg Pickle on Twitter and here on the Blue White Illustrated YouTube channel and podcast with the Penn State Wrestling Podcast. So welcome to the show, Greg. What do we need to know about the latest of the Penn State Nittany Lions wrestling team?
Yeah, so as football fans are, of course, familiar, the NCAA transfer portal spring window closes on Tuesday. For wrestling, it extends a little bit longer. It actually is open into mid-May. But Penn State had its first wrestler go into the transfer portal on Monday, April 29, since the 2023-2024 season ended. It's Utah native Terrell Bearclaw. And I don't think, as you note, T. Frank, there's probably going to be too many people shocked by this news. If you could look up a Webster's Dictionary definition of tremendous top flight or elite teammate, it would be Terrell Bearclaw. He did everything Penn State could have asked and hoped for over the last 4 years. Never really cracked the lineup as a starter, but was an oft-used reserve at 165 and 174 pounds. Never complained about having to move weights, never complained about not being in the lineup frequently. And, you know, he now has one season of eligibility left. He is in as a graduate transfer, and he's going to try and find somewhere that he can compete for an NCAA title and be in a starting lineup. And I don't think anyone can blame him for wanting to do so. It's a situation, obviously, he's not accomplished at the college level as Michael Beard was when he left Penn State, when Max Dean was locked into the starting 197-pound spot. But it's similar in a sense that Terrell Bearclaw is one of many Penn State backups who could wrestle in a starting lineup at a lot of places across college wrestling. And we don't see a lot of those guys move on. But for Bearclaw, which is one season remaining, he decided now was a good time for him to try and find a place he can get into the starting lineup and compete for a national title. And like I said, I don't know any possible way how Penn State or any of its fans could blame him for doing so.
We're going to talk about the lineup for next year at the end of the show today, but we're going to talk about a little bit here in terms of how this particular situation with a player moving on affects the middle weights. Because as you mentioned, cutting weight, gaining weight, filling in when guys either needed a break or there was an injury or anything like that. Is there another player on the roster you see who can fill that role and eventually work for a starting role? Do they have the flexibility in those middle weights to absorb a loss of depth and veteran experience, which, again, by the time you hear this, might be happening with some of those upper weights as well?
Yeah, so do keep that in mind that we're recording this on April 29, but, you know, it's a time of year now when finals are coming to an end, the spring semester is coming to an end, so, you know, depending on when you're listening to this, it's not out of the question someone else could be in the portal, not just Terrell Bearclaw. He is the first and only at the moment, but no, they can weather this. I mean, they brought in Eric Gibson last year from Cornell. He's a 165-pounder. Matt Lee should be back at 165. You have a little bit less depth at 174, but I think there's enough bodies to compete for that job to begin with if Carter Starace comes back and moves up in weight, or if he just moves on, period. So, yeah, I think that what you lose here, Dav, you mentioned a veteran presence and a guy who was willing to do anything for this team, but I think the flip side of that, of course, is that he has done more than his fair share for this program, for this team, and now it's his time to try and go shine somewhere else. So I think it's a good opportunity for him. We'll see where he ends up. Obviously, a Utah guy, he could end up back on the West Coast. I'm sure he's going to have plenty of options to compete. Well, he'll have to decide what weight he wants to go at, and that will obviously probably help inform his decision as well. But yeah, for Penn State, you lose some depth, but again, it's one of the deepest rooms in the country. We talk about that on this show all the time. And when that's the case, you're going to have guys like Terrell Bearclaw move on, knowing they can be in a college starting lineup, but just maybe not Penn State's.
So we're going to talk from the past, Terrell Bearclaw, and what he brought to the program, to the future, and some of the guys that are competing in the U.S. Open this past weekend. So set the stage for us of what happened and how what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, so Penn State wrestlers, current and future, were at the U.S. Open U-20 championships in Las Vegas this past weekend. We're recording this on April 29, so that event was Friday and Saturday in Las Vegas. And if you're not familiar with it, obviously we talked previously about the Olympic team trials being at Bryce Jordan Center. That is for the senior level U.S. team that competes internationally in freestyle events, and this was for the U-20, which of you know, it should go without saying. But under 20 years of age, wrestlers can compete at that event. So it was a good one for Penn State present and future. Numerous champions from that future group of guys in the class of 2024 and 2025. And some interesting other wrinkles as well when it comes to current Nittany Lions we'll get to here in a little bit.
Yeah, so because Penn State has some very talented young players on their roster, those we'll be talking about some of those. But let's start with the class of 2024. A couple of players to talk about here, wrestlers to talk about here. What do we have for the results?
Yeah, so we had three champions from the class of 2024 that will attend Penn State: Luke Lilledahl, Zach Ryder, and Connor Mirasola. The big takeaways here, I don't want to belabor kind of going through the blow-by-blow of who these guys beat, because by and large, I'm not sure fans are, you know, would be familiar. Not everyone certainly would not be familiar with them. I did find it notable that Lilledahl beat Kilcarey from Ohio State. Penn State fans should be familiar with that name in the 57-kilogram finals. So, you know, I was starting with him. I think the big takeaway here is a lot of people thought he maybe could come in and be the guy for Penn State during the 2024-2025 season at 125 pounds, and the way he has competed so far this offseason on the freestyle stage after a successful prep season, there's nothing, T-Frank, that is standing in the way of that possibly being the case. So obviously Braden Davis is still around, and we'll talk about him here in a second, but Luke Lilledahl is going to come in and try and win that job, and whether or not he does so, we'll have to wait and see, but a very impressive performance for him. Zach Ryder taking a championship here is also very notable, not just because he's going to attend Penn State, but also because, if you're not familiar with the story, he did not wrestle during his senior season at Mincinic Valley. Senior season in New York, he did not wrestle. So he trained with David Taylor's M2 facility here in State College, or just outside of State College. And so this was our first chance to see him compete at really any kind of a level in over a year. And he did very well, obviously, with winning the championship. And he's another guy that will now come in and, you know, see what he can do, see if he can possibly impact this lineup. We'll have to wait and see how that all shakes out. He won the 79-kilogram weight class, which, of course, is 174 pounds. Could he go there? Could Alex Facundo go there? Is Carter Starace coming back? If he is coming back, he's going to go up in weight. So we'll have to wait and see how all that shakes out. But Zach Ryder off to a good start with a freestyle season here as he gets ready to come to Penn State. And then last but not least, Connor Mirasola, an upper weight. He has been tremendous on the freestyle scene since he you know, has started there after the high school season, taking the 92-kilogram division, and his brother Cole was second at 97, but 92 kilograms, 202 pounds. So it makes you wonder if he could be 197 for Penn State this year if they need someone at 197. Of course, could very well be Carter Starace. So we'll get into all that lineup stuff once we get some final decisions from Greg Kirkfleet and Carter Starace. But yeah, those three guys all coming to Penn State this year at the very least are U20 U.S. Open champions. What'll happen now with those guys and the other Penn State wrestlers who finished in the top eight? They will go to the U.S. U-20 team trials, which starts at the end of May in Ohio, and the team will be set there. And like a guy like David Taylor, for example, all the winners, so like a Luke Lilledahl or a Zach Ryder or a Connor Mirasola, they will sit in the finals, in the best of three finals. So everyone else is going to be gunning for those guys at the event, and they got a big advantage by winning here for when that tournament rolls around.
So let's go a little bit farther in the future. Class of 2025, PJ Duke. So what do we know here? What happened here?
Yeah, obviously, you know, again, he's a guy who Penn State fans are very familiar with. He won the 70-kilogram U-20 U.S. Open title, which is 154 pounds. Just a tremendous wrestler, so a guy that is going to accomplish a lot more before he gets to Penn State this time next year. But, you know, he has obviously a whole freestyle season to go and then a final folk-style season, assuming he's going to wrestle. Again, we keep seeing more and more guys, not just at Penn State, but elsewhere, take the Levi Haynes route or the Zach Ryder route and not wrestle their senior year, instead just train. So we'll see what PJ Duke decides to do. But, you know, again, he's one of the top ranked recruits in the class of 2025 in the country. This is just yet another reminder of that. And it's why Penn State prioritized him in the recruiting process and got it done as soon as they could, as soon as he was ready to commit. And they obviously keep growing that relationship from there.
So what do we got next? We have talked about Braden Davis as well, who was competing in this already on the roster. What did we learn about the future of Penn State wrestling with his competition?
Yeah, so first things first, I guess, is to note that it looked like he suffered, may have suffered an injury at some point early in this tournament. He ended up going into the consolation bracket, I believe. Let me just double check here. Yeah, he won, let's see here. He won one consolation match and then lost the second one, so he was knocked out of the tournament. But, you know, he lost to Kaisen Garcia, who's a fellow teammate at Penn State in the championship bracket here. Garcia ultimately wrestled very, very well in this tournament. He went on to finish fifth. One of a handful of Penn State guys who also hit the top eight, didn't win a title, but hit the top eight. Joe Seeley was second at 74 kilograms. He's a 2024 signee. Class 2025 commit Will Henkel was third at 79 kilograms. Current Nittany Lion sophomore to be Josh Barr was second at 86 kilograms. And as I mentioned earlier, Cole Mirasol was second at 97. But the interesting thing on Braden Davis, who was not a part of that top eight group, is that he wrestled up a weight class. So he wrestled at what is the equivalent of 133 pounds. Obviously, Kaisen Garcia, who beat him, is a 133 pounder on Penn State's roster. So it begs the question, did he bump up because he was just sick of cutting down to 125 during the college season and didn't want to do it at this level? Did he do it because he figured 133, he may have a better shot to go further and not have to deal with Luke Lilledaw? I don't know. That could be a part of it. Or, you know, behind door number three, is he preparing to bump up and challenge Aaron Nagao for the starting spot at 133, which of course would let Luke Lilledaw slide in at 125. And then behind door number four, is he in for a redshirt year? And he is just working on getting bigger with the idea of eventually moving up and a return to the folk style mat in weight from the 125 pounds he manned this past season. So I think that's the way this is going. The question is just going to be, is he going to try and fight for a spot in the Penn State starting lineup this year, or is he going to redshirt? My gut, as we sit here on April 29th, say Braden Davis probably redshirts this year, but you never know. I mean, we thought Tyler Kasak was going to do the same thing, and he ended up finishing third at Nationals after Shane Van Ness got hurt. Not suggesting that any of Penn State's other starters or what members of the roster will suffer an injury, but it's just to point out that you just never know how these things will go. A lot can change from April till October. So, but I think right now I would probably lean toward Davis bulking up and taking a redshirt year, but we'll see.
All right, so finally, Josh Barr. What did you learn about Josh Barr this weekend?
Really impressive. I mean, Penn State fans saw him in a couple of dual meets this season, obviously wrestled really well. You and I previously talked on the show, T. Frank Hale Sanderson, and said that they felt like Josh Barr could wrestle this year in the Penn State starting lineup if they needed him to. During the dual meet season, it appeared that that was true. And he finished his second here at 86 kilograms to earn a ticket to the team trials, where he obviously is going to have to wrestle his way to try and get the top spot and the spot on the U-20 U.S. team. But key takeaway here for me is obviously he's a guy who, with Bernie Truax moving on, is a logical and natural fit to take the 184-pound spot, unless Carter Starocci does come back and decides 84 is better than him than 97. So we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, Josh Barr, again, I think the takeaway here is just that Penn State's wrestling room is so deep that we're talking about current guys who didn't start last year, you know, are among the best in the country in the world stage. And it just goes to show just how deep this room is. It also goes to illustrate how many tough lineup decisions Cale Sanderson Richardson's going to have. He only has 10 starting spots, T. Frank. We know Bo Bartlett has one of them, and we just ran down a list of guys from either the class of 2024 or who are already on the team who could all make a logical case to be in the starting lineup. So,
yeah.
You know, again, I feel like that's going to be a theme of this show, or at least parts of it throughout the next few months, is just how much fluctuation there could be with the Penn State wrestling starting lineup in 2024-2025.
Okay, so one last question. Watching what we saw from Penn State wrestling this past weekend and then kind of projecting forward, you mentioned obviously there are some decisions for returning linchpins on the team. Could you assess right now, given what you've seen from some of these guys that are joining the roster, some of the guys that are already on the roster, where you see the advantages and some of the potential sticking points where Penn State might have to fit guys into roles maybe they're not ready for? Like, where would, I don't want to say weaknesses in the lineup, right? Because that doesn't feel like the correct structure of the question, but I guess what does the lineup look to you right now when you're playing around with the pieces in your head?
Yeah, so I think it's very fascinating to think about, because one thing we don't know, we heard that Shane Van Ness, the former Penn State All-American who suffered a season-ending injury back in December, was ahead of schedule in his recovery. We were never told what exactly that lower body, obviously it looked like a leg injury, knee injury, whatever it was, what that was, T. Frank, and what his recovery timeline is like. You know, can he be ready to wrestle full go in November? Is he a guy that doesn't come back until January when the Big Ten season starts? Do they keep him at 149? Do they move him around? Where's Levi Haynes going in the lineup? Is he going up? Could he redshirt? I don't think that's going to happen, the redshirt part of it anyway, but it's not out of the question. Is Mitchell Mestenbrink going down? If Carter Storace's coming back, where's he going? Same with Greg Kirkfleet. And if he's not back, you know, who's moving up to heavyweight? Is it Mirasola? Is it Lucas Cochran? Is it somebody else? So I don't want to, you're right, weakness is not the right word, but I think the question marks are definitely in the upper weights at this point, 174 through 285. If you get Storace back, if you get Greg Kirkfleet back, those questions really start to dissipate. And if you don't get either, if you don't get both of them back, then you have some not challenges, but you're just going to have guys with less
new
experience.
New variables.
You're going to have guys with less experience than what Penn State fans have become accustomed to in the lineup at those spots. Everyone's got to start somewhere. So, you know, it just kind of is what it is to some extent, especially when you lose 1 4-time NCAA champion and possibly a second. And I guess I should just note, T. Frank, that based on when you're listening to this, we are expecting Carter Storace and Greg Kirkfleet at any point in time to decide what they're going to do. So if, you know, you're listening to this a couple days late and you already, you know, some of this news could leak out before, before or after this show's airs, I should say. So just keep that in mind. We'll have the latest at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com. But yeah, once you get the answer from those guys, it becomes a little bit more clear of a picture. And that can be in ways that are good for Penn State and ways that are a little bit more questionable for Penn State. So we'll see.
Greg Pickle, Penn State wrestling reporter. Check him out, BlueWhiteIllustrated.com. If you're listening to the podcast, appreciate you here. We've got plenty of stuff, including Penn State football, Penn State basketball, Penn State recruiting. So if you check out other podcasts, same feed, so you don't have to go digging too far. Or Blue White Illustrated on YouTube. Always appreciate people who support us there as well. We will be back with more great off-season content for Penn State wrestling on the Penn State Wrestling Show.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.